Well, I want to thank you for being here tonight. I want to thank you for your time, because I know that your time is very valuable. And so I'm praying that tonight will be a time that you go, okay, God is showing me some things and ways that was, you know, encourage me, but have faith that he's working in and through my life. You know, as we study about God's authority, you're going to feel pushed. You're going to feel convicted. You're going to feel threatened. But also you can feel free as we trust in God's authority and in the authorities that he puts in our life. And I want to reiterate, the devil hates it that we're talking about this tonight. He hates God's authority. He hates anyone that trusts God's authority. And so he's going to do all he can to discourage us in the weeks to come. Now, next week, Matthew Angel will be speaking to us. And he's going to be talking basically about what does obedience and submission to God's authority and to God's authorities, what does that mean? Now, if we really got honest with ourselves, we struggle with those words. We struggle with submission. And we struggle with the word obedience. We think we're adult men, and many times without even realizing it, subconsciously we're thinking, that really doesn't apply to me, that applies to my kids, or maybe to my wife, or whoever, but it applies to us. And when we grab a hold of it, it will really make a difference in our lives and really make a difference in the freedom that we'll feel. And so next week we're going to hear about that, and we're going to hear how that works with authorities that God sets up in our lives. How do we deal with that? And so this week we're going to be talking about the fact that God has direct authority in our life and he has delegated authorities in our life, and we'll kind of work through that tonight. But last week I gave you a homework assignment, and that was to pray for your authorities and to pray for God to give you faith in his authority. And so I'm going to ask you, I'm going to put you on the spot. You're man enough to receive it, you know. How many of you actually did that last week? You prayed for your boss. You prayed for your president. You prayed for your pastors. All right. I'm great. The rest of you, you get another chance this week. As of God's grace, shape up. Don't ship out. Pray. I'll tell you, if we would pray for those who are in authority over us, I really believe it makes a difference in their life, but it makes a big difference in our life, in the area of patience and understanding and the grace that God can help us with in the area of obeying and submitting to our authorities. So last week we talked about, I'm a man under authority. So would you say that with me? I am a man under authority. Now say it like you mean it. I am a man under authority. Now if you are, you believe that, it will really make a difference. So we're talking about tonight God's sovereignty and how God is in control and how God works. But a big way that he works is through human authorities. He really does. Now, when we think about our bosses, or we think about our government, or we think about even the law at times, or our pastors, whoever it may be, sometimes if we got really honest, we'd say something like, I really am more clued in than my boss. Or my boss or my company or my manager or supervisor, board or president or pastor, whoever you work for or serve, you may think, they make decisions that make me think, what are they thinking? Or we might say, if I were in charge, if I were the pastor, things would not only be different, they would be a lot better. You know, those are human normal thoughts that we have as we deal with human authorities in our life. But there are also thoughts that the devil will take and get us in trouble or sow dissension at the workplace or at the home or in the church. And so we begin to think, if we're not careful, that those in charge are ineffective, inefficient, insensitive, they don't make any sense, or they're just going to require more work. I remember a friend of mine, Philip Duprain, when he was early and working for Gulf. It was used, it's now Chevron, but the old days it's called Gulf. My old days, his old days. And he was a graduate from college, and he was out there, you know, paying his dues, and him and some of the young bucks, as they were kind of viewing their bosses and thinking about, man, they don't have a clue what they're doing. They just don't got it. I don't know why they ask us to do what we do. It just doesn't make any sense. And so they went to an old timer that was out there working, and they were complaining to him, kind of talking to him. And he said, boys, boys, I'm just going to say one thing. The easiest thing in the world is just do what you're told. Just do what you're told. You know, quit worrying about how your bosses don't have it together. Just do what you're told and things are going to work out. I thought that was great advice. My friend took that to heart, and it really made a difference many times. You know, as we think about God's sovereignty through human authorities, many times we're thinking about the what. What are they asking us to do? You know, where they're leading us? Or what is going on? But God is not really wanting us to look at the what. He's wanting us to look at the who concerning our authorities. The who is the fact that you and I do not have the authorities that we have by chance. We have the authorities because God has put them into our life, and it's who God is and who he has put in our lives to make a difference in our lives. Now, sometimes we may think, well, you know, does God know what he's doing? You know, and we have to step back a little bit and go, do I know what I'm doing, trying to question what God is doing? You know, if we really got honest about some things. So think about the who behind whatever authority you have in your life. So we're going to be looking at a few passages, and we're going to be looking at basically Romans chapter 13. So you have your Bibles tonight. Please feel free to turn there, and let's just get started. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist, have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur what? Judgment. For the rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. Verse 4, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay, what's coming up pretty soon? Taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. So pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Reverence to whom reverence is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. So that's the verses that we're looking at tonight. We'll be bringing in a few others to kind of help us understand. But as we kind of read through that, that gets a little, you know, like, pretty edgy. That gets a little bit into our face at times if we really take God's word at face value. So the first thing I want us to pick up on is verse 1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by who? By God. So that says that every authority, there's no authority that exists outside of God's will and God's purpose. Now, we can go back and think through the history of a lot of authorities that were pretty bad. But at the same time, if we take this scripture, what it means, even those were in God's plan and God had a purpose and God knows what he is doing. And so, you know, if you take the book of Kings and 1 Kings, 2 Kings, you're going to see where even there, the kings of Israel, one king did right in the sight of God all of his life. And the other did wrong in the sight of God all of his life. And you can see through those books, 1 and 2 Kings, how there were good authorities and how there were bad authorities and how there were evil authorities. But according to this passage, no authority exists except from God. All authorities are instituted by God. And so I think it's very important for us to ask ourselves a couple of questions. First of all, is God sovereign? Well, you know, what does that mean? That means that God can sustain that which he creates. That God himself, as sovereign God, is in control. Now, we look at the world, you know, we even look at some of our churches, and we go, man, there doesn't seem like anyone's in control. It seems like everybody is out of control. But the fact is, we're looking at it through a limited perspective. We don't see the whole story. All we can do is trust in the fact that, do I believe that God is on the throne, that he is sovereign, and that he is in control? If you and I believe that, then we have to take a godly perspective towards our human authorities. What also it means, if God is sovereign, he is omnipotent. That means all-knowing, all-powerful. That's what that means. There's nothing impossible with God. Amen? Because he is God. You know, omnipresent means that he is present everywhere at the same time. God is right here. He's right here, right now. And so, you know, one of the questions we ask God from time to time is, God, do you care about me? Do you know what I'm going through and what I'm dealing with? And what do you think the answer is? Certainly he knows. And certainly he cares. And I'll tell you, if you ever think for a moment, which I have many times thought that God didn't care, you just think of the cross. Just think of the cross. How can you care more than what God did on the cross? And so when we're going through bad stuff or bad stuff is happening to us, and it may not seem like God cares, I want you to know, don't look at God through your circumstances. Look at your circumstances through God's word, through the Lord, through the Holy Spirit. You'll get a better perspective. He does care. The cross is the proof. And so he is sovereign. He's in control. So there are two types of authorities that we have in our life. So here we are. We got God. And then we have me. Okay? And God is working in our life in two ways. One of the ways that God works is what we call direct authority. That is one-on-one with God. Have you ever played that basketball game one-on-one? It's umana, umana. You know, who's going to win? What's going to happen? Well, God gets very personal with you and me in many ways. You know it's God. God knows you know it's God. He is making himself very clear. And he does that through circumstances, through his word, through people in ways where friends come up. Or there are a number of ways that God shows how he is working directly to me and you. But the other way that God chooses to work is through what we call delegated authorities. So there's the direct authority of God. Then there's the authority of God through delegated authorities. All right? So both ways God chooses to work. You know, and a lot of times our problem is that we want to tell God how to work, you know, what to do. And so we have some. I'm just going to give you a few scriptures that can give you confidence in God's sovereignty and God's omnipotence, so that when he chooses to work directly to us or through our delegated authorities, we can believe that he's in control. Psalm 115:3 says, "Our God is in heaven. He does what pleases him." Not what pleases us, but what pleases him. And it does please him to please us many times. But it's about him. Isaiah 46:10 says, "I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient time what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please." Job 9:4 says, "God is wise and all-powerful. Who has opposed him and come out unharmed?" Job 12:13, "Wisdom and strength belong to God. Counsel and understanding are his." Jeremiah 32:17, "O Lord my God, you yourself made the heavens and the earth. By your great power and with your outstretched arm, nothing is what? Nothing is what? You believe that? Luke 1:37 says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Isaiah 55:8, "For my thoughts are not Gary's thoughts." "Neither are our ways his way," declares the Lord. So what do you believe about delegated and human authorities makes all the difference in how you deal with authority, whether it's straight from God or it's through the human authorities that he sets up in our life. Well, who are some of those authorities that we have in our life that God has put there? Well, children are under the authority and protection of their parents. Wives are under the authority and protection of their husbands. Employees are under the authority of their employers. Citizens are under the authority of the government. And Christians are under the authority of their pastors. Just to name a few, those are some scriptural references that refer to that we have many delegated authorities in our life. So the second point, and by the way, let me just say this. Who decided who your parents were? Did you decide who your parents were going to be? Who decided the color of your skin or the color? Did you have anything to do with that? You know, who decided where you were going to be born? I was born in Weleka, Oklahoma. How many people know where Weleka, Oklahoma? One person. Bless you, my brother. Bless you, because very few people know. I mean, you just blink your eyes and you're through it. It's just an Indian town in Oklahoma. But I was born in a doctor's office. He had the front office and he had the back room. It's a two-room doctor's office, and I was born in the back room of a doctor's office in Weleka, Oklahoma in 1951. We've come a long ways from there. So the second thing I want us to say is this tonight. Rebelling against authority brings judgment from God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resist what God has appointed. And whoever resists will incur judgment. Now, what does that kind of mean? Let me kind of pull this. Can you guys see the screen from where you are, okay? I'll just try to pull over here just a little bit. A lot of you may want to use this one right here. I don't know. It's biblical. It is definitely biblical.
Thank you, brother.
Okay, you're welcome. But I want to say this. Whoever is in authority over us, or whoever we're in authority over, we also have a responsibility to meet the needs of the one that's under us. And so a lot of times we want to hear about that authority as men, but we don't want to hear about the responsibility that goes with it. And Christ is over man. He's in authority over man, but also Christ meets the needs of man. Wouldn't you agree with that, how the Lord meets our needs? Okay, so let's talk about this. What does that judgment mean for an unbeliever? I came across a definition many years ago that really got my attention. It's about judgment, and one of the definitions is, to every entity is given a measure of sin, that when that measure is met, the wrath of God comes to that entity. Now, I don't know what the measure may be. It may be a bucket. It may be this room. I don't know how it is, but to every entity, and an entity is a person, it's a family, it's a company, it's a nation. To every entity is given a certain measure of sin. And when that measure is met, the wrath of God follows. And you can see that in the Old Testament all the time. You can see that in the New Testament. Jesus does talk about hell. He does talk. And I've seen times where even Christians, they get out there too far, God brings them home. So what is a judgment to a believer? Basically, the judgment to the believer who is resisting the authorities over him is discipline from God. And in Hebrews, it says that God disciplines every son. And the discipline is for our good, but the discipline is painful. Has God ever taken you to the woodshed? Was it fun? No. But he tells us that he does that because he loves us and he's trying to save us and rescue us. And that's why he disciplines us. Why do you discipline your children? Because you want to get even with them? Now, there might be times you want to do that. You're driving, a car down the road and then you finally had enough and you're just swinging back there to hit somebody. I got to hit somebody. I'll feel better when I do it. But most of the time, I would say, as men, we discipline our children because we, what? We love them. We love them. And same way with the Lord, except he's much better at loving and he's a lot more perfect than you and me. So here's a question. Can I trust God? Can God be trusted when we start talking about authority of God in our life and through human authorities that he sets up in our lives? But here, let's look at this question in a different way. Can I trust God? That really gets it personal. It's about all, but yet it's about each one of us individually. Can you, do you trust God? Do we believe that God is good? And that he's good how often? Do you really believe that? When the doctor says you have cancer, is God good? When someone close to you that dies, that you love deeply, is God good? He is good. That's who he is. And he is good all the time. The thing is, we want to define what is good. But if you really want to know what is good, just look at God. And you'll be able to define what's good. If you want to know what love is, God is love. Don't define God in terms of love. Define love in terms of God. See the difference? So Hebrews 6:26 says, Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor do they reap, nor gather into their barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value? Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, and some of you today are probably walking through fire, I want you to know you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Which is harder for you? To trust God or to obey God? We're called to do both. You remember that hymn, trust and obey for what? To do what? To be happy in Jesus. We need both. But I do believe many times it's harder for us to trust him than to obey him. Obey him is pretty much black and white. You do this, you're obeying. If you don't do this, you're not obeying. Now, trusting is a little different story. And that's what it's going to take in trusting in God's authority to work in our lives and through our lives. Well, how should I view my authorities? Well, the rest of Romans there kind of helps us understand how we should view our authorities. First of all, it says, for rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? In other words, do you want not to fear your authorities? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. And so the idea is, God is calling us, and I like this kind of equation. You know what that equation means? So whatever here is greater than what's ever there, right? So the fear of God is better and greater for us than the fear of man. Do we want to be in fear of our authorities? The answer should be what? Do I want to fear man? Whoever that man is, my authority or whoever. The fear of God will set us free from the fear of man. And the Bible talks about a fear of God that makes us understand that he's in control and not me. It should cause us to tremble a little bit. You know, it ought to concern us about what we think and what we feel and what we say about God. In fact, one of the commandments is to not take God's name in what? That ought to concern us as men. But what happens is if we're here, if we're in this camp, then we are not fearful of man. The Bible talks about the fear of man as a snare. The Bible also talks about, you know, what do you really want? Do you want the approval of God or the approval of man? And when we are seeking man's approval, we're going to be in trouble. But if we're seeking God's approval, we're going to do right. And so it talks about if we don't want to fear, then do what is good. The second thing about our human authorities is the Bible says that they're ministers, our servants. Verse 4, for he is God's servant. And then, let me see. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God and an avenger who carries out God's wrath on wrongdoer. But also verse 6, for because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are what? Ministers of God. So what they are, our authorities are instruments in God's hand to work in our lives. Proverbs 21:1 says, now this is, I really like this. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. And another version called Easy to Read Version, it kind of goes like this. To the Lord, a king's mind is like a ditch used to water the fields. He can lead the king wherever he wants him to go. So, are my human authorities in charge? No, God is in charge because he's in charge of them. He leads the king. Psalm 75, 7. But it is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. I remember when my boys were playing baseball and, you know, they weren't getting to play much. And they were getting very fearful because they knew that if they didn't get to play much, then scouts wouldn't see them and scholarships wouldn't be offered. And I tried to help them understand, your future is not in your coach's hands. Your future is in whose hands? Because whose hands is the coach in? God's hand. So if he's not playing, God has a purpose for that coach not playing you. I mean, some of you been in business and been working for certain companies for a long time, and you're in a position to be promoted, and someone comes in and gets promoted over you. And you go, okay, something's wrong here. And I understand those feelings, those emotions, the anger, the like, you know, what else do I got to do? But I also understand if we trust God in those times, because our boss does not have our future in his hands. God has our future. Now, this is something that might be a little deep for some of us. And that is, our future on earth is in God's hands. Would you agree with that? Why do you have the IQ that you have? Did you decide on your IQ? Did you decide on what talents and gifts and abilities that you have? Who made that decision? Well, you may say, well, it was in our DNA. Well, who made a decision about your DNA? God. So he really determines what, you know, where we were born, what we're really going to accomplish in this world. Even the opportunities that come our way. We go sometimes and go, that guy that's in charge, he don't know Jack. And I don't understand. I mean, I have more brains than he's got. And this guy who's really rich, and I don't have much money, he don't do anything for it, and God just gives it to him. And we kind of get uptight. But God decides our status here on earth. Did you know that? But what we get to do, we get to make a decision on what our status is in heaven. That goes on forever and ever and ever. So how we obey and trust God is how we lay up treasure in heaven. And that is something we do have something to say about. So Colossians 3:23. So kind of whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for man. Another thing about human authorities, they're to be obeyed for our conscience sake. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of a conscience. 1 Samuel, it talks about, it came about afterward that David's conscience bothered him because he had cut off the edge of Saul's robe. Do you remember that story? Saul was trying to kill him. David was hiding. David had done nothing wrong. But one night, David slipped into Saul's camp, could have killed him, but he just thought, I'll just cut off a piece of his robe and show him, you know, who's in control, you know. And then the Lord started bothering him, his conscience, because Saul was still his authority. Acts 24, 16. So I always take pains to have a clear conscience toward both God and man. 1 Timothy 1, 19. Keeping faith in a good conscience, which some have rejected, and afterwards suffered shipwreck in regards to their faith. Also, human authorities are due what they are owed. Verse 7, pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Reverence to whom reverence. It says reverend. I guess that's how you say it. Is owed. Huh? Learn something new today, huh? Revenue to whom reverence. Respect or reverence to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. So taxes, revenue, respect, honor. These are signs of inward and outward obedience. Last week I showed you this umbrella. And I talked about being a man under authority. This thing's about broken. I'm hoping it'll open up one more time. All right. Now, I wondered if you noticed the color of this umbrella. It's white and black, light and dark. When we are under our authorities, we are under both good and bad and evil authorities. But they all work under God's authority that gives us the protection and direction that we need in order to resist sin and overcome sin that comes in our life. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. So all of us face temptation, but God will provide a way if we're here. If we're here without that umbrella of authority, then many times we are trying to fight that sin and that temptation, and guess what happens? We lose, don't we? We go, man, that was more than I could handle. I knew that was going to happen. So anyway, it's more than we can handle because we got out from underneath the umbrella of protection. So what to do? Every day this week, I'm going to ask you to confess three things, as well as ask you that did not pray for your authorities to pray for your authorities. But even you who did pray for your authorities last week, you need to pray some more. We all do. Every day this week, here's what I want you to do. Confess three things. I am a man under authority. This morning, tomorrow morning, get up and say, I'm a man under authority. I also want us to say, apart from Jesus, what? I'm confessing this morning, not only am I a man under authority, but apart from Jesus, I can do nothing. But another confession we need to make each day, with Christ, all things are. Amen? Okay, you got a few minutes there. You got about another 20 minutes or so to talk in your groups. And go at it.